sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me.
Welcome to the audio ministry of Salem Primitive Baptist Church, located in Graysville, Arkansas. I would like to thank you for listening in and hope you are blessed in the Word today. I would also like to invite you to come and worship with us in person. We have worship service every Sunday morning at 10:30 and Bible study every Wednesday night at 6:30. Please like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram, and subscribe to us on YouTube for the most current updates. You can find links to these and more information about us on our website. It's www.salempbchurch.com. Thank you again, and may you be blessed in the knowledge of our God and Father. I encourage you to open it to the book of John, chapter 1. John chapter 1 is where I want to begin this morning. If the Lord be with us, I would like to try to continue our study of the Lord Jesus Christ, to get to know Him better, to understand Him better, to draw closer to Him, to understand where He come from, to understand everything that He's done for us, to try to understand better how we can relate to Him. The reality is, for us to be Christians and for us to seek after Christ, we kind of need to know Him. If it would not be fair for me to ask my children to act like my children if I didn't tell them what was expected of them, right? It wouldn't do us any good to have heroes and to look up to heroes if we didn't really know them. That makes sense?
Yes.
So I want us to know Jesus better. It's a daily endeavor. Really and truly, the entirety of Scripture is about Him. So it's a text, it's a subject that it kind of baffles my mind that I want to try to study it in this kind of a detail. It's hard for me to know where to begin, but I pray that the Lord is in it, and I pray that He continues to be in it. If you would read with me, starting in the first verse of John chapter 1. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man that was sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." I'm going to pause there for right now. So far in our studies, we have looked at some of the descriptions of Christ to get to know His personality and His makeup better, looking in Revelation and some of the descriptions of Him there. Last week, we tried to look at how God has overcome the world through the life of Jesus Christ, and that was long before His crucifixion. Indeed, without doubt, and in no effort to try to re-preach last week, because I don't have time for it, but to just kind of remind you, indeed, Christ did overcome the world of sin and the debt between us and God on the cross. And indeed, there is coming a day, a last hour, where He will, in its fullness, overcome the world. And will burn it with fervent heat. And those that are His will rise and meet Him in the air. And praise be to God, according to Scripture, contrary to modern teaching, there shall we ever be. I look forward to that day. But we looked last week at how God had overcome the world just in Jesus being here. God had overcome the world in bringing Christ to be on this earth. And to me, in the fullness of that, is how He overcome the nature of the world. He overcame the nature that He set in place. In the beginning, God said, like begets like. Let the plant bring forth a like plant. Let the animal bring forth a like animal. And Adam beget in his own likeness. Like begets like. This is a law that God put in place from the foundation of the world. It is the law that absolutely destroys the theory of evolution, and that's all it's ever been is a theory. It's never been proven. And this is the law of God that absolutely destroys it. There is not a possible chance of something giving birth to something other than itself. It's a law of nature that like begets like. And because man's influence on that law, it had become, through sin, an impossibility. Y'all understand this. Y'all think about this. It had become an impossibility for a perfect man to be born for the cause of dying for our sins. It was impossible for that to happen. But God. God overcome the world. God overcome that natural law, and Jesus Christ was conceived in the womb of a virgin, not of the seed of man, because that's where the sin comes from. Life continues as is. Like begets like. Had Joseph been involved, Jesus would have been conceived in sin and would have died for His own and not ours. Does that make sense? It's not a popular doctrine. Nobody likes to talk about that, but it's reality. God overcome the world. And Jesus was indeed born into this world. Do y'all believe that? Jesus was born into the world. And in His birth alone, this is what John's talking about here, and the Word was made to be flesh. That's what he's talking about. Jesus was born. Just in His birth, there were so many prophecies and so many signs and wonders. It's not surprising that Jesus looked at the Jews and said, "Why are you asking for a sign? How many do I have to show you? How many do you need?" Just in His birth, hundreds of prophecies fulfilled. And not close. They weren't nearly there. It wasn't confusing like when, is it Gideon that laid out the fleece? Well, you know I asked for the ground to be wet and the fleece to be dry, but maybe I was wrong in what I was expecting, so now I'm going to ask for the fleece to be wet and the ground to be dry. And God saw to it that it was that way as well. I'm not talking about close prophecy. I'm not talking about it was almost right. Perfectly fulfilled prophecy. To the jot and to the tittle. I mean, Old Testament prophets, what was recorded for us, I mean, they get detailed with the birth of Christ. And y'all are thinking, all right, where are you going with this? It goes into what I have on my mind this morning. Isaiah is one that gets into it in some of the greatest detail, saying explicitly that he's going to be born of a virgin. He's going to be born in Bethlehem. He's going to be laid in a manger. He wasn't born there. He was born and he was laid in the manger. It was prophesied that the angels would come and declare his birth. They did that. It was prophesied that wise men would go looking for him, and they did. And these wise men looked for him for 2 years before they found him. I'm sorry, when you look at your nativity scene, those three guys over there, they weren't there. That's why Herod was looking for children that were 2 years and younger. Because when they came still looking for him, they stopped there and they told Herod they'd been looking for him for 2 years. And they found the small child and gave him the gifts. All of this is prophecy fulfilled. And when you look in Matthew, not only do you find that written prophecy is fulfilled, it's one thing for somebody to say written prophecy is fulfilled when you can look at a book and say, well, you know, I can see this right now. That's one thing. And it's amazing if you can get hundreds of those fulfilled. But when you look in Matthew, you find when Herod cried out for the children 2 years and younger to be killed so that he could remove this king that was born king, it says there in Matthew, and as it was spoken by the prophet, they went into Nazareth to hide there. He was fulfilling prophecies that weren't even written. They were just spoken. God was that deliberate with the birth of Christ. Jesus came on time, at the exact moment, at the exact date, at the exact place, in the exact way. It was to the point that someone who had studied and someone that had read and understood anything about the Jewish prophets when they looked at this kid, they would have had no reason to doubt. Y'all know God's that deliberate about things? You know that's why he gave us Scripture. I mean, y'all understand? That's why God gave us this book. It's not so it looks pretty on your table there in the living room. It's not so it can look pretty sitting next to the bed and you can lay it under your pillow and by osmosis it'll leak in overnight. That's not what God gave this to you for. I'm being facetious there and silly, but it's not to hold under your arm and say, look, mine says KJ, so I'm better than you. That's not why God gave us this. We're told in the book of Romans, the greatest blessing that the Jews had was that the oracles of God were given to them. The greatest blessing that we have outside of our eternal salvation in this world is this book. It tells us everything we need to know about Him. And He didn't leave out anything. The chiefest blessing that the Jews had was that they had the oracles of God. And when the oracles of God were fulfilled in their day, even though they studied it, and I really get baffled at the scribes. You know what the scribe's job? You couldn't be deemed and qualified as a scribe until you had hand-copied the books in their entirety. And this isn't the printing press time. I'm talking, you have it over here and you're copying it by pen. They should know. And this is why Jesus, when he would converse with them and they would challenge him all the time, would say, have you not read? Because they had these things. And Jesus was sent to his own. He was in the world, verse 10. He was in the world. The world was made by him. And the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. That's baffling to me. And it should have been baffling to them. And I imagine some, in hindsight, it probably was baffling to them that they did miss it. Jesus, the one that we want to know, the one that created all of this. I love that through here. Everything was made by Him and nothing was made that was not made by Him. He was in the world and He had created the world. I'd really like to have just sat and spoke with Him and just talked to Him about His memories. Can you imagine what He would remember? If you've ever watched any of that show, The Chosen, the second season, He's talking to John. And I know it's just a TV show, so it's not Holy Writ, but it was impressive to me that they had thought of it like this. But He was visiting with John, and John asked Him what his favorite scripture was as they were looking at the first five books, and they were just going over them. He says, I don't know, there's several really good ones, but He said, my favorite memory was in the beginning, God. That's pretty impressive. My favorite memory was when God said, let there be. That's pretty cool. That's Jesus. That's our Savior. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. He was sent to the very people that had been given all of these proof texts. He was sent to the very people that had been taught, that had been shown, had been for 40 years living in the religion and been told it every day. And that's the very people He came to. He went to the people that should have had no reason to miss Him. And those people received Him not. Now, I am going to be a good old Baptist here. I'm going to tell you what this is not talking about. And I'm amazed that John is inspired to think this way. He points out what's not being spoken of here. Okay? So everybody knows that John's not crazy, because we're going to talk about some words that make us uncomfortable. Let me ask you a question. Have you received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? If not, what are you waiting on? Now that's some words from an old Baptist pulpit that kind of make you go, now brother, you're treading on some dangerous ground. No, I'm not. I'm giving scripture to you. John knows that in today's time, it's amazing how smart God is, but John knew that in today's time we're going to question these things. First century church, they questioned these things. It's not new. It says, but he said, he came into his own and his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Which, that colon there, means I'm going to explain what I just said. Okay? So there can be no misunderstanding here. You know, grammar is important. I really regret not paying attention when I was in school. That little double dot there, that doesn't mean a double period. Cut it off. Don't pay any further attention. That means I'm fixing to explain what I just said. Those that received him gave he power to become the sons of God. And these sons of God were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. Okay, so y'all please don't misunderstand me. I'm going to go ahead and give this explanation one time. And y'all remember it. I'm not talking about people's eternal salvation here. John's not talking about it. It's not in the context. When he says to those that received him, he gave power to become the sons of God, he's not talking about being born again. Go ahead and just pull that out of your head. It's not what he's talking about. Because these people were already sons of God. Not according to blood. Doesn't matter what your name is. That was the Jews' thought. Well, I'm a Jew, so I'm one of God's. It doesn't matter what your bloodline is. They were not born of blood, nor the will of the flesh. You didn't will yourself into being a child of God. Get over it. You didn't do it. You didn't ask him, not of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man. Mom and dad didn't pray for you enough for you to be a child of God. Doesn't happen that way. Plain and simple. So we all know that, right? We can move on. Amen? These people were not born of the will of flesh, nor of man, nor of blood. You are born of God and nothing else. It is Christ plus nothing. Plain and simple. However, John points out an issue here that is still an issue today. Jesus came unto his own, and his own received him not. And I know there he is speaking primarily of the Israelites. He came unto his very people, his nation, the people that had his name. He came into his own religion, and his own religion, his own nation, his own people, his own bloodline received him not. Receive here simply means to believe. To accept. I know that because, again, grammar. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. That even there is the same as, explaining it further. Those that received him, even those that believed him. This received here is belief. John starts the opening of this book at the very ground level, and that's why I want to start here. I've told you who Jesus is. I gave you the description of him, how he was, he is to come. He is the Almighty. He is the Alpha. He is the Omega. He is our life. He is our provider. He is our Savior. That is who Jesus is. And you will not change who he is. Your belief in him will not change it. Your disbelief in him will not change who he is. Truth does not care about feelings or belief. Truth is truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, the life, and he didn't ask your permission to be that. That's Jesus. That's Jesus. And the fact that we have him provided for us, the fact that he is real to us, is of God. It is not of this world. God overcome this world just so we could have him. And that's where John starts. Now, ground level for us is, are you going to receive him? Are you going to receive him? Now, he was presented to those that should have known, but they received him not. The Jews, the Israelites, those that were his, those that had been given the books after books of testimony and prophecy of what he's going to be, looked at him and said, no, I don't think that's going to be him. I mean, he's a good guy and all, but he's from Nazareth. Can't nothing good come out of Nazareth. He's just a carpenter's son. He's not even of royal bloodline. That's not the Messiah. They received him not. And the question is why didn't they? Why didn't they receive him? Now, one camp that's large among our people is because they're not his. They're not born again. They're not elect. They didn't receive him because they couldn't receive him. And we have proof text of that in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, if you want to read that. I want to look at these people. I want to see who they are. I want to see what kept them from receiving him. They had a never-ending source of and supply of proof that that was him. How is it they could possibly not receive him? Well, it's because they weren't born again. that they couldn't see the forest for the trees. They were blind. They were still dead in their sins. Well, I can see where you get that. Read with me 1 Corinthians chapter 2, starting in verse 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them to us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Now to put that plainly, because I know Paul can be kind of wordy and kind of hard to understand sometimes. To put that plainly, Paul is comparing the natural spirit of man and the spiritual side of man. The natural man cannot understand the things of God. He cannot. The natural man cannot. The natural man can look at a beautiful sunset and say, boy, that's pretty. But they're not going to see God in it. I'm sorry about that. They're not going to do it. Natural man can look at things fall out in life and say, well, that guy over there is real lucky. Boy, you are one lucky guy. Guys that grew up with me and saw what kind of a dork I was can look at my wife and say, boy, you're one lucky guy. Natural man would say that. Natural man cannot receive the things of God. They can see the writing on the wall. They can see the things that are in this earth. And I thank God that God does things on this earth to reveal himself to us. But they can see them and they cannot understand what is written. It is the same as if I'm trying to talk to a deaf person. I don't know sign language. I can say, okay, that's about as far as it goes. I can talk to them about God till I'm blue in the face, holler and scream, and give the greatest gospel message that's ever been told, and they're going to hear nothing. Because they cannot. Paul says for us to see and to hear and to understand spiritual things, we must have first the Spirit. We have not received the spirit of the world or spirit of man, but we have received the Spirit of God. Verse 14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. So there is a camp, there is a one belief of these people that saw Christ and saw the things that were revealed and say, well, they couldn't because they weren't his. And you can see some of the times that Jesus talks to them with the Pharisees and say that you are of your father the devil. Now there were some non-elect Pharisees. I believe that. I think that Christ's words are pretty plain and pretty clear on that. But I think to try to put off everyone that didn't receive him into that camp is foolish. I can understand where they're coming from. Because of a truth. Unless you're born again, you could have seen that baby born. You could have seen everybody getting excited about it. You could have seen, you know, it's pretty neat that there was this kid born last week that was laid in a manger, and it was in Bethlehem at about the same time that all those crazy guys were saying there was going to be a Savior born. And then I saw these three wise guys show up 2 years later to give him gifts. You know, it's pretty, ain't that a coincidence? That's pretty cool.
It's about like somebody looking at my wife and saying, I'm a lucky guy. Spiritual will look and say, you're one blessed man. You married up. Amen.
So there are those that believe that those that didn't receive him didn't do so because they could not. Now there were some of them that were that way. That's truth. They couldn't receive it. They could see the writing on the wall, but they couldn't do nothing with it. That's a fair bet. But I don't believe all of them. There's more to it than that. A child of God can fail to receive Christ. Look with me in John chapter 3. We're going to look a little bit further at this, and I want to see another piece of the puzzle. John chapter 3, starting in the first verse. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, so much of Christianity wants to force eternal salvation into what Christ is saying to him here, and that Nicodemus needs to be born of the Spirit. Nothing could be further from the truth. Nicodemus is of the Pharisees. So many of us want to say, well, all the Pharisees were just heathens and they were non-elect because the generation of vipers, when he's talking to the Pharisees, Jesus isn't talking about all of them. He's talking about the ones that are standing right in front of him at that time. Nicodemus was of the Pharisees, a ruler of the Jews. He is one that was of his own. And he's starting to receive him. I want you to see the difference between him and some of the other Pharisees. So many of the other Pharisees looked at Christ and you know what they felt? Jealousy. Anger. They didn't think he was good enough. You can continue on in the first chapter of the book of John and you can see how can anything good come out of Nazareth? No, I don't think so. Nicodemus, though, he doesn't understand what's going on. He's seeing things. Nicodemus comes to him at night. Okay? You only do something at night if you don't want to be seen. It wasn't because he was so busy and he didn't have time during the daytime. Nicodemus came to Christ at night because his Pharisee buddies, it wouldn't have gone over well with them. We're going to see that next verse in John chapter 1 playing out here. Nicodemus comes to Jesus at night and he says, and the word that I really want us all to see, he says, the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we. He's not alone. We know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said, I tell you, unless you were already born of God, you would not recognize the things that you're recognizing. He's not telling Nicodemus you need to be born again. Jesus is telling Nicodemus plainly, brother, you're already a child of God and you're starting to see some things. Nicodemus at this point is receiving Christ. He is stating that he believes in him. Jesus came to his own, and his own said, "No, you're not it. You're not the one I'm looking for. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God." To those that believed him, to those that received him, to those that believed in him, he gave them some power. He gave them some power to become the sons of God. That becoming there is not talking about being made into. It's beautifying. It's proper. It says when you tell someone, it's kind of an old saying, you don't hear it very much anymore, but that dress is very becoming on her. It's very becoming you. Doesn't mean that dress is turning into you. It means it beautifies you. It shows you well. To those that received Jesus, he gave power to become the sons of God. What was it that drove Nicodemus to go to him at night? That gave him the power to step out. I mean, y'all really understand this. The Pharisees from day one did not like Jesus. From the minute he started doing miracles and started making a show and started making a name, even though he didn't want to make a name, and he told everybody to go tell no man what I've done unto you, the minute he started making an upheaval and an uproar inside the church, the Pharisees sought out daily to tear him down and to make him of none effect and to squelch him. For one of their own to be willing to step out of that and expose himself as one that believes that this man's telling the truth, that took some courage. That took some power. That took something that was beyond himself. And that's what Jesus is trying to get across to Nicodemus when he comes to him. He's telling him, "Man, I'm telling you, unless you were already born again, you wouldn't see the things that you're seeing." He's not telling Nicodemus, "You need to be born again." He's telling Nicodemus, "You are born again." That power that comes with belief. I tell you again. Where I'm trying to get across with this, ground level for us as children of God, ground level for us as Christians, is for us to actually believe what we're told. As I go through this study and as I continue to try to seek out Jesus and try to tell you about him and everything about him, I can tell you all the blessed truths. I can open the oracles of God and reveal to you everything God has ever wanted you to know. But if you don't receive it, if you don't believe it, it's going to do nothing for you. And no offense, I don't want to just holler at that panel wall back there. I kind of want to reach you. Have you received him? There were many of this group. I do believe it to be highly negligent for us to just read this, and because we want to make our primitive Baptist, old Baptist line of teaching and stick to this thought process so hard that we totally ignore what's being said here and say, well, those that didn't believe is because they weren't of his and they weren't born again, and that's why he's talking about, and I want to just hurry up and get down here and show how they were born not of blood and not of the will of man and not of the flesh, and that's all we're concerned with. I want you to know, John's concerned about this opening. John is fixing to, and it is probably my absolute favorite gospel of Christ. He is fixing to open up to them the absolute majesty and power of who Jesus was in its fullness. And he's writing to us. I'm giving Jesus, I'm presenting Jesus to those that should know. And the worst thing we could possibly do is receive him not. No, that's not him. I hear what you're saying, brother, and Jesus is real good, but he's not done nothing about X, Y, and Z in my life. So that's not the one I'm looking for. Well, you don't understand, brother. You tell me about a Jesus that's so good and he's so great and we've got all of these tremendous blessings. You don't know what I've suffered in my life. You don't know my losses. Where was your Jesus then? I'd love to tell you. But if you don't receive it, it's not going to do you any good. He came unto his own and his own received him not. But to as many as received him, gave he power. The moment in your life, the moment in any child of God's life where they hear about Jesus Christ and they receive him and believe him, it should be a life-altering moment. I'm asking you, do you truly believe in Jesus? Amen. You live based on what you believe. I've told y'all this before. Belief is one of those points of Scripture, points of Christianity that I want so bad to explain. I want so bad to give to people and to share with people, but it's one of those that I don't feel like I present it well enough. I don't feel like I get the point across. How important it is that you actually believe in Jesus Christ. That he is not just head knowledge. The Pharisees had all the head knowledge of the Messiah that you could stomach. They had spent their life studying him. They had studied this book. They knew the Old Testament. They knew it well. They tried to use it against Jesus. I don't want Jesus to just be head knowledge to you. I don't want you to just smile and nod your head and a couple of tears come to your eye because I tell you that Jesus is coming back because it touches on our emotions and I want it to touch on our emotions. But I'm not concerned with your emotions. I'm concerned with whether or not you actually believe that. Because I want you to look at Nicodemus. And there you see an image of somebody that actually believes that Jesus is who he says he is. Nicodemus was ready to put his neck out there for it to be taken off just so he could go to him and say, I'm seeing something. I need to know if it's true. And guess who was there waiting on him? Guess who got to spend time with him? Nicodemus was willing to step out and do something that the modern times would say is foolish. You think that man's going to do you any good? You think following that's going to change anything for you? Nicodemus believed. He had received him. Believing in Jesus comes with power. belief makes all of this apply to you. How many of us are, truly, this is a totally different direction than what I thought I was going this morning, but we're going to go with it anyway and pray the Lord was in it. How many of you truly are worried and afraid because of the virus and the stuff and the things that are going on in the world? I mean, how many really are?
You gain fear in you, you gain worry. Come on, y'all can do this. Any of you? I know more of you are than what's got your hands up. What's the matter with you? You afraid? You worried? You got concern?
You know, there's a verse in Scripture that says, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. And you know what good those words do you if you don't actually believe them? They just look good up on a wall. I'm asking you, do you believe that God has given you a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind to know that God is real and God is a reality, God is on the throne, God is in control, God is over us in all of this. It's not going to change it. Viruses are not new. Sicknesses are not new. He's overcome them before. He'll overcome them again. We'll get past this and it'll be a memory and we'll talk about it and we'll actually start laughing about it, and it won't be that awkward laugh that we're doing right now, hoping the person on the other side of the table was mad at us for bringing it up. I'm telling you, it will become a memory. Do you actually believe that?
Yes. Amen.
Then act like it.
That's right. Amen.
Nicodemus wasn't sitting in his room and saying, I really think that man, he really could be something. I mean, that really could be the Christ, but you know, if I go over there and if I get seen, I'll just stay here. I'll keep watching. I'll keep looking. And if I see a little more, then I'll start doing something. You know, if I see Jesus, Lord, if you'll just do one more thing in my life, I'll actually believe you. No, you won't. No, you won't. You're just like them other scribes and Pharisees looking for a sign. And when that sign's over, you know what you'll look for again? Another sign. You're believing signs. You're not believing the one that gives them. You're loving the healing more than the healer. You're more concerned with the blessings than the blesser. You're more concerned with your salvation than the Savior. Am I being too harsh? Jesus came into His own and His own received Him not. But I tell you, brothers and sisters, if you will receive Him, if you will look to this Christ that we're going to try to spend some time studying, and you look to this Jesus and you actually believe that this is what Jesus really is, it will change your life. It gave Nicodemus the power to step out and not only confess for himself, but say, Jesus, take comfort. I tell you, these guys are over here hollering and screaming, but some of them believe it too, but they haven't stepped out of their comfort zone yet. They'll get there. We know. Rabbi, whew, the fact that he called him Rabbi. You know what Rabbi means there? Master. He didn't just believe he was some good guy. Rabbi, we know thou art of God. Do you even know that much about Jesus? That he is of God. God. The one that created all of this. I mean, we say that, but do we really think about it? Every molecule that is put together right now to put this building together. Well, you know my great-granddaddy built that building. Yeah, but did he create any of it? Well, he put all the boards up. Did he create any of it? No. You know what? God did. Every bit of it. And Jesus come from him. Jesus is him. He gave them power to become the sons of God. I really wanted to get down the line of what it is that Jesus gave them the power to do that was becoming. I'll tell you two of them that I want to chase, and we'll look at those next week, hopefully. The two that I want us to look at that Jesus gave us power to do, Jesus gave those that believed power to do, to become the sons of God, that's becoming of sons of God. All right, brother, I hear you. I hear you. I understand. I want to do this. I've received Jesus. Does that sound weird coming from up here? I received Jesus, and I want to know what to do with it. I hope it doesn't sound weird. I have to admit it sounds kind of weird coming from me. And I'm thankful the Lord put it on me this morning. Two things. That Jesus gave them power to do that was becoming of the sons of God. That he called on. First one was repent. And just so you know, repent doesn't mean feel bad. You need to repent of your sin. Well, I feel terrible for what I did. Bully. I didn't ask you to feel bad about it. Jesus didn't ask you to feel bad that you put the nails in his hand. Jesus didn't tell you to feel bad because you sinned last night. Jesus said, repent. That means change. Guess where the power to do that comes from? Receiving Jesus Christ. And the other thing is to follow. And I can tell you, in this game of follow the leader, I can remember playing follow the leader when I was a kid. And when you got to be the leader, you would go through the nastiest stuff and over the stuff that you didn't think anybody else would go through and everything. I'm going to tell you, when this game of follow the leader, he's going to go places you cannot go unless he gives you the power to become the sons of God. And you know where that starts? Receiving him. So I present to you today Jesus Christ, and I'll close with this. I present to you today, for your knowledge and your acceptance, Jesus Christ. He is the Son of God. He is the second person of the Godhead. He is born of a virgin. He lived a perfect life because you can't. He taught the perfect teachings so that we could understand. He died a perfect death for your sins. And if your sins were on him, your sins are atoned for and forgiven. They're not yours anymore. You can let them go. You do not have to hold on to them any longer. If Jesus, the one I'm presenting to you this morning, died for your sins are atoned for, and you are forgiven for them. He died for them. He was laid in a tomb that had known no man. And he only stayed in it for 3 days. He walked out with it still sealed shut. You want to know why? Because he's God. Thank God it didn't stay sealed shut. It's because we don't have a point to argue. It's empty and we can see it. He loves you. He died for you. He's your friend. He's your brother. He's your Savior. And there's coming a day. He's coming to get you. And he's going to take you home. He's going to line you up in front of God. And he's going to say, here they are, Dad. Just like I told you I would from the beginning. Do you believe him? You need to. Thank you. God bless.
I will sing the wondrous story of the Christ.
Thank you again for joining us at Salem Primitive Baptist Church. I pray that the Word of God may brightly shine in your lives. If you would like to contact us or would like to download a copy of today's message, please go to www.salempbchurch.com. God bless you all.
Who died for me?
Sing His praise.
Sing His praise.
The saints in glory.
The saints in glory.
Gathered by
the crystal sea.
The crystal sea.